I don't have to tell you as listeners or viewers of MNMally.com that about the present controversy surrounding the whole issue of breast implants. What are the implications arising from this controversy focusing on breast implants at this moment in time? To try to establish the facts surrounding this, whether people should be concerned, whether women should be worried, women who have had implants, I have with me now a consultant who specializes in breast implants, Stephen Sinclair. Stephen, will you try and put into ordinary language the raison d'etre, the reason in the first instance most women will choose to have a breast enhancement, an implant, or a breast reduction? Because for many of us, particularly males, we don't really understand this.
Well, it's something women do for themselves to make them feel a little bit better by themselves, and that's from the cosmetic surgery point of view. Women also have implants, as you will know, for reconstructive purposes when they have a breast removed for a breast cancer. But I think we're focusing more on the cosmetic patient, and it's really to make someone feel better about themselves. And it's important to have a detailed consultation with the patient beforehand just to elicit exactly why they do want the surgery, because often cosmetic surgery is not the right way forward for many people.
So will you draw a line of distinction for me at the moment, please, between the patient who has to have reconstructive surgery for clinical and medical reasons and the person who chooses to have reconstructive surgery for purposes of cosmetic?
Well, reconstructive is obviously a much more serious situation for the patient. They are dealing with the implications of breast cancer and of body deforming surgery. Breast implants, and there are other types of breast reconstruction, but breast implants are a significant type, and they can be greatly beneficial to a woman to maintain her self-esteem, her body image, and again, it's similar in that it makes the patient feel better about themselves.
So is a lot of what's going on informed by vanity when it comes to the female?
Well, I don't know that I would classify it as vanity. People like to take care of themselves in the Western world. Everybody takes care of their hair, their appearance, how they dress, and how women react to other women is partly guided by what's in the media, the glossy magazines, the peer pressure. And this has led to a great increase in cosmetic surgery over the past number of years.
Well, as a practitioner, as somebody who actually is involved in this type of surgery, breast implant, will you explain to me today what is the position of the female who has had an implant, whether it's reconstructive surgery because of cancer or whatever, within the health service? Where does that person stand today if that person is preoccupied about that surgery against the backdrop of threat, of worry, concern arising out of this current controversy?
Well, I can reassure anyone who's had a breast implant for reconstruction in Northern Ireland, or anyone who has had a breast implant for cosmetic purposes in Northern Ireland who has gone to a consultant plastic surgeon. Most of my colleagues work through the Fitzwilliam Clinic here with me, and the ones that don't all use the highest quality implants. And these are medical devices that have been extremely highly tested. They've proven to be safe, and I'm happy with their safety and their efficacy.
But Mr. Sinclair, can you categorically assure people here in Northern Ireland who've had or availed of breast implants that this particular manufacturer or make, which is causing the controversy, anchored originally in France, can you assure people that that particular brand is not being used here and therefore no female is in danger here arising from the usage of such?
No, I can't. These implants were taken off the market in 2010 and were used principally by what I would group together as the more commercial high street firms. These are firms that advertise heavily, and cost, I think, has been a big issue in their choice of product. So there are women who have been to these, I suppose they're national firms who have offices in Belfast, who have had a breast augmentation over the past 10, 12 years, who do need to clarify what type of implant has been used. And I would recommend anyone who has had a cosmetic surgery through these types of firms to contact them and to clarify what type of implant they have had inserted, because there are problems with the potential problems with these implants.
Have you wittingly, knowingly, though, ever used that sort of implant, that particular one manufactured in France, in any of your cosmetic treatment here in Northern Ireland?
No. I mean, I take cosmetic surgery equally as seriously as reconstructive surgery, and I am an independent practitioner. I choose the best implants for my patients, the ones that are safest. Safety is a very high priority. Now, these implants, they do tend to cost more, but they have a long track record. They have been used for long numbers of years. They are used all over the world. They're used in America. And I can stand by the research behind them. The PIP implants, you have heard, they did get a CE mark, which is a minimum standard of safety, if you like. But the problem is that I do not think women who had these implants inserted were necessarily fully advised as to the range of implants that are out there in the market.
Let me ask you, Mr. Sinclair, because this is a serious question. If you knew that an implant was accredited with a minimum approval, CE, I think you called it, would you insert such an implant in any female?
That would just be the very basic information I would want to know. I would want to know who manufactures them, how they have performed in the past, have they been approved by the FDA in America, really knowing the safety and the quality issues surrounding the implant. Therefore, choosing an implant is something I take seriously. I've been involved in choosing the implants in the NHS for the Hospital. I choose the ones that we use in this clinic, and my colleagues tend to use the same implants that I do.
You say your colleagues tend to use the same implants as you do. If I go into Isaac & New or Hearst or Donnelly Motors, I can choose a Range Rover, I could choose a Volkswagen, or I could choose a Fiat or a Seat. Mm-hmm. Will you always go for the Range Rover in the belief that you are affording your patient the best quality implant, or will you entertain a cheaper implant if that's what your patient wants?
I will, in a way, that's a good analogy in that it shows that there is a range of quality of implants. I will only discuss implants that I think are safe with the patient. Some are slightly more expensive than others, and I will discuss the pros and cons of each implant. But I wouldn't use an implant that didn't have a high degree of testing behind it. And these implants, to me, never had such a high degree of testing behind them.
Mr. Sinclair, I just want to seek clarification from your group, your practice here, as opposed to other practices in Belfast. Are there practices which would be obliged to use PIPs as opposed to what you use here in your practice?
Yes, that's my understanding, that surgeons who worked with the various high street chains would have been only able to use a certain type of implant, and for a period of time, that would have been the PIP implants. Surgeons that work with me, we all in this group specialise in different areas, and breast surgery is my specialty, and therefore I tend to inform the group about the best type of implants. But they have a choice. They are independent practitioners and can use, they make their own mind up about the safety issues.
Will you just clarify, what does PIP actually mean? And what's the difference in the PIP product and the product which you would use here in your practice?
Well, it's just a name of an implant, and it describes the type of implant that it is. The main difference, now we know it's silicone that wasn't meant to be put in the human body, and there are issues regarding the regulation of that. The main difference years ago when these were being put in was that the implants that we used here had a high degree of testing, had been used in hundreds of thousands of people, and the safety was there for everybody to see. With the PIP implants, there was very little research behind it, and therefore you're going into the dark, in my mind, when you used an implant such as this.
Hold on, sir. Are you saying that there are fellow plastic surgeons in this city who were using these implants, PIP implants, who were uncertain, who hadn't adequately researched the quality, the regulation, and the medical approval necessary? Are you saying there might be surgeons who knowingly, wittingly, hadn't established the quality, the bona fides of these implants before inserting them in females' breasts in Northern Ireland? Is that conceivable?
What I'm saying is any consultant plastic surgeon from Northern Ireland is very reputable. They work or have worked in the NHS, and they, to my mind, have made the right choices for their patients. Surgeons who work in the high street firms aren't always as highly qualified as a consultant plastic surgeon on the NHS. They haven't gone through the same training or have had to pass the same exams. And they, if they worked in such a national firm, were obliged to use a certain type of implant. And that they didn't have the freedom to choose. To my knowledge, the implant with the more research and the higher safety details behind them. And these implants tended to be at the more expensive end of the market. And to me, I can only assume that it was a cost issue for those particular institutions.
But Mr. Sinclair, might it not come as a big concern for many women in the city and in Northern Ireland to know that there were certain practitioners who inserted these breast implants exclusively using the PIP's manufactured breast implant? And it might be worrying to hear you say, as a practitioner, that these people might not be adequately trained in this area, in this specialism. Where was the regulation within this city, within medicine, if that has been going on?
Well, regulation is something, more stringent regulation is something we have been pushing for many years. And one of the good things that may come out of this is that the government is now looking very seriously into tighter regulation for cosmetic surgery, and also in keeping and reintroducing a breast implant registry, so every patient that has a breast implant will be recorded and followed up. It's difficult to comment on the adequacy of training of other surgeons, but I think cost is not everything. Glossy ads are not everything. Cosmetic surgery is can be very beneficial, but it's a serious issue, and you need to go to someone who you can be, as a patient, can be confident will give you the right advice beforehand, make sure that it's the right procedure for you to undergo, be competent and qualified carrying out the surgery, and give you very good aftercare.
Sir, if you are saying to me that there are practitioners who are obliged to use the PIP insert, breast enhancer, or whatever you call it, and they're practicing in this city, and you are saying it's now proven because of the use of silicone, which should not have been used or whatever, should such practices essentially be closed down by the Department of Health here?
No, with regards to PIP, PIP have been taken off the market since 2010, but it remains to me a problem in that surgeons working in these clinics are not forced, but they are encouraged to use a particular type of implant and cannot and do not have the freedom to choose the type of breast implant that they may feel is safest with regards to the medical literature.
Sir, are you saying that there's some sense that they are bought, that they are bribed, that there's a financial advantage? Why would people, if there was any threat, any concern about a product, why would they use it? Why would they not sufficiently research the quality of that and be absolutely certain? You speak of the extremes to which you would go to make sure that your products, the products which you are placing in the bodies of females, are road tested, stress tested to the nth degree. Why would other practitioners do so? What would be the incentive for them to do so?
Well, I can only think that it's a cost issue for the particular clinics involved, and that surgeons who work there maybe, I know in the past, certainly couldn't compete for jobs in the NHS, and they are able to operate to a certain level, but may feel that they are railroaded is a strong word, but they feel that they are almost forced to choose a very limited type of limited range of implants.
It's probably an inane question. As a private practitioner, inserting implants in women's breasts and doing constructive surgery, reconstructive surgery, I presume that you have a insurance protection as a practitioner, that you have to take out heavy insurance to protect yourself. Is that correct?
That is correct. Both the clinic that you work in takes out insurance, and you as an independent practitioner takes out insurance.
Now, will you clarify the situation now with the NHS, as you understand it, where some surgery had been done to a female under the NHS? What is the government's position now? If a problem arises within the body of one of those females, is it the case that the government, the NHS now, will remove the implant and replace that implant if necessary?
Yes, if somebody has had their surgery carried out on the NHS, that will happen. But I think a very low number of people UK-wide have had that type of implant on the NHS, and certainly nobody in Northern Ireland has had that type of implant on the NHS.
Would women have implants done or inserted, if that's the correct term, under the NHS for purposes of vanity or self-esteem?
Yes, I think self-esteem is a better word, and there are women who have very little breast tissue or breasts that are of various sizes, some congenital problems, who do have breast implants. Excuse me. So in that situation, yes, there are women on the NHS who would have had breast implants for issues of self-esteem.
Let me ask you something else, though. Will the health service ultimately draw a line of distinction between the women who had breast enhancement or breast implants for strictly medical reasons, cancer, etc., as opposed to the female who had breast enhancement for purposes of self-esteem? Or will the health service, as you understand the ruling and the regulation now, will look after, withdraw, remove, and reinstate breast implants in the situation against the backdrop of the current controversy?
No, the NHS will treat all patients who have had surgery in the NHS the same, so whether it's been for self-esteem or reconstruction. However, anybody who has had breast implants or these PIP implants in the private sector, the NHS will cover their removal, is my understanding, but not their replacement.
So, What happens then in that situation? I heard one of your peers on television last night specifically saying that the private practitioner should not be liable. And in many cases, he was implying that private practitioners couldn't afford to carry, one, the removal, and two, the question of replacement with another implant. So where does that leave the private individual who went, as you call it, High Street or wherever, and had implants inserted and discovers that there's a problem? What actually happens to that person? Is that person now blowing in the wind?
Well, they are in a difficult position. I do feel these clinics do have a duty of care to their patients and do owe it to them to help in whatever way they can. But women who will have a who have their PIP implants removed on the NHS are going to be in a poor position.
When you actually get an implant into your hand, could I just ask you, have you an automatic sense as to whether it's the right implant, its quality? Would you sense an impairment as a doctor automatically? Are you sufficiently attuned and sensitive to that particular product that you would know from the very first touch that it's not right?
I think I probably do, because I use implants all the time on a daily basis. I have seen all different types and makes of implants, and I do get that sense, but it is only a sense, and it's not something I would act on without a period of research into the product. So, you do get a feeling of what it's a bit like, maybe clothing, or you do get a sense of what feels right.
Do you ever have any leakages arising from your operations, from the insert, the implant which you place in a woman's breast?
Yes, there is an incidence of leakage with all breast implants, but it is very low. It's much less than 1% from the research that we know. And the implant isn't a natural thing to have in your body, and your body will wall it off with a layer of your own tissue called a capsule. And if there is a leakage of the silicone, it doesn't leak outside your body's capsule for many years, and it gives the patient and the surgeon time to examine the breast, which will have had some changes in shape at that stage, and to remove the implant in a safe manner. Now, there was a silicone controversy 20, 25 years ago where all implants were suspected of possibly been related to certain diseases, and this caused an extensive period of research both in America and in Europe. And that's why I can speak with some confidence in that this has been a very highly tested product in general and has proven to be safe.
Okay, presume for a moment that a woman discovers or fears or suspect that something which you did isn't right. She comes back to you and you discover, yes, there has been a leakage. Do you then attend that female at your expense, or what is her position? Are you protected? Are you protected from an insurance point of view, or is she liable for the costs of your work and the installation of a new implant?
In the past, that would have been explained in the consent process, that the problems which are listed fully and booklets are given detail that is one potential problem with an implant, and that they are not meant for life and that they will need replaced at some stage. That would be at the cost of the patient. However, the implants that I currently use and have used for many years now do offer almost like an insurance to the patient if this sort of problem arises.
Some ladies have breast reductions. If a botch, if a surgeon makes a botch of something like that, has that lady got any recourse in medicine? Has she any recourse? If she has a breast reduction and it's a botched job, has she any recourse against that surgeon?
Yes, I mean, all operations carry a complication rate. But a patient deserves to get the best counselling beforehand and the best advice as the most appropriate operation. They deserve the best surgical expertise during the surgery and the best follow-up afterwards. Now, given that you get the best, there still is an incidence of complications, but it is a very, very low incidence. If a practitioner is operating and has a very high rate of complications, then I think, and that hasn't been fully explained to the patient up front, then yes, the patient does have recourse to compensation.
What is the recourse? Does that person have to go to court, bring the surgeon to court, go through a legal process and wreck that person's self-esteem? Is that what happens? Is that really what falls out?
That is what happens. Now, again, it depends on what the clinic you work in. In this clinic, we like to deliver a high-quality service and look after people to a stage where they are happy with everything. And should a problem arise such as that, that would be attended to.
Let me ask you finally, as a surgeon, as one of the key major surgeries, primary surgeries in this area in Belfast, do you personally at this moment in time as a consultant, because of all the controversy, feel vulnerable, challenged in any way professionally, concerned, worried about what's being said out there?
Well, I can understand the anxiety out there. I don't think this has been particularly well managed by the authorities, and it has led to confusion. The different response from different countries can only have led to confusion, even to me, as to what was going on. I'm happy that I use the best quality products in this particular area. I'm happy that I have a good practice and work with good colleagues, and I deliver a good service. So from that point of view, I think the best thing that can come from this is better regulation of cosmetic surgery, that people are more aware of the differences between surgeons, the differences between clinics, and in this particular case, the differences between the different types of breast implants.
This is the final question, sir. You've been very patient and very thorough in your answers. When there's a botulism scare, when there's all sorts of scares out there about aspirin, the latest one was yesterday. Medical research is now showing that it's preferable not to take aspirin, despite the fact that it's supposed to thin your blood and help your heart, etc., etc. Do people step back for a while? Would you expect a de-escalation, a deceleration in the number of people coming forward, women coming forward in this era against the backdrop of the concern scare out there?
Well, I think that is probable and possibly sensible. I think anybody considering, for instance, breast augmentation should look at how this develops. But it may be that when they look at it closely, they'll see that breast augmentation is actually a safe procedure as cosmetic surgery procedures go. It is our most common procedure, but they hopefully will realise it is vitally important to get, as I say, the proper advice beforehand in making your decision. You talk to your surgeon, talk to your GP, to go to a clinic with a good reputation that is known to look after you. And to me, I think it's sensible to go to somebody who is a consultant plastic surgeon who works or has worked in the NHS, because at least you know they have had a certain amount of training, attained a certain standard. But to me, that's only the start. You continue developing throughout your whole career. So it's a significant decision for a patient, and hopefully this will lead people to look more closely, ask better questions, and try and get themselves the best possible service when they're seeking this type of surgery.
Consultant Stephen Sinclair, he said he hopes that the patients coming forward to consultants to discuss breast augmentation, implant or whatever, that they will ask the right questions. I hope for MMLE.com that I have been asking Mr. Sinclair the right questions in your interest, because we're all aware of the sensitivity and the concern out there among the female population. Good afternoon, Mr. Sinclair.